Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Forrest, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Good morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, last time I was with you all, I was on my way to Mr. Eric Moore's celebration of life, and I have to tell you, it was beautiful. It was fabulous. Saw a lot of people from my first years in the business. And I tell you, it was beautiful. And I just got to give a shout out to Anthony Jeffries. He came into the business as a reporter, and I can see how he is an excellent writer, because he told me he wrote his thoughts the night before, and he wasn't even supposed to be on the program. And but he spoke from his heart, and because he did that, I just want to give him a shout out on this platform, and to say, you know, today is going to be like an SID day, because I'm going to share some things with you about my journey, starting as an SID 30 plus years ago, and just to have the man who taught me how to do computerized stats. Ironically, I got a call the same day of the funeral to ask could I do some statistics for a gay. And again, my ego spoke first, of course, what has been 24 years. But I said, better yet, train somebody. I'll let you know how that went later on in the podcast today. But speaking, I told you, from the SID kind of day, we're back with Meet the Contributors on Facebook Live tonight. But instead of being at 6 p.m., we're going to go at 8:30. And because guess what? As SIDs, you got some duties. And that 6 o'clock hour is not ideal. And I did have another from the fourth issue, and she too was traveling with her team. But I think Arius is at home and just has a home game. So we're going to try it at 8:30, Facebook Live. So just drop into the Facebook Live, and we're going to chat about her experience of contributing to the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics. And to get your copy, just go to Amazon. And this particular copy has Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree as the cover. And the fifth issue is in production right now, and the next issue will come out in March. And starting next month, I will begin to accept contributors to the sixth issue. When I tell you this thing is rolling, it is rolling, and it's so exciting to be able to bring specialized knowledge of the individuals who are in these magazines and to see them grow. Because I'm here to tell you, this is an avenue for you to, number one, create another avenue, revenue stream, number one, and begin to have your thoughts around what is your specialized knowledge. What is something that you can share that you can monetize as a consultant? And in 2022 and beyond, the world will be and is an entrepreneurial type landscape. And you need to enter that landscape with a sense of confidence. And number three, you know, if you are looking for that next position, and I'm going to tell you, this has happened more than one time, your confidence begins to build when you put your thinking cap on and figure out what it is that you do best. And everywhere you go for that interview, it will roll right off your tongue. And that has happened to several contributors, several. And one of them just accepted a position this month. And she says that her opportunity her opportunity to sit down and think about what it is that she delivers at every place she's been helped her be able to do a great job on her interview. So I am really excited about that. And, you know, this is something that you think that you would really like. And what I really, okay, so think about a consultant then. So have you ever been asked to speak, but no one says they don't have any money for you to speak? Well, guess what? You say, just buy the magazine for all the participants. And if the participants is a ticket item, the money that they pay to come to the event will be covered the magazine. Yeah, so that's how you get some money in your pocket. Even if it's more anything, you just put gas in your car, your vehicle. So, again, I'm doing this because people in higher education, we're used to giving away our specialized knowledge for free because they were educators. But when I became an entrepreneur, I had to learn how to monetize that specialized knowledge, how to package that. And this is my gift to you all to show you how to do that. Because people say, how you do that? I said, you know what? It was trial and error. But this, and when you, it's an investment. But the investment doesn't go to me. The investment goes to the designer. And when I tell you that's the key, and she deserves every penny that she receives as from the designer of this magazine, so I'm proud to bring that to your attention. and look forward to working with anyone listening who's ready to jump into grabbing one of the spots for issue six, a hot item. But you do have to write 500 words. But I do help you. I do help you think about what is your expert knowledge. So if that's something that you're interested in, please hit me up and we can talk about it. Okay? So Seawall Foundation is another one of our media partners, and I'm glad to partner with her because she is diving into taking her specialized knowledge and educating our youth. She wants to provide media training for our student-athletes. With name, image, and likeness, this is a very important piece. And I tell you what else, too, is the fact that, unfortunately, our professional athletes are using social media to shine a different light on teammates. And so our young people are watching that. They may begin to copycat that and don't realize that's a marketing tool for those on that level. But when you're trying to get in the business, you don't want to show that you're a bad teammate. So I say she's excellent, excellent, excellent. So she's got a background in interviewing with her Seawall Sports Entertainment. So I like to say that we're preparing our players for lights, camera, action so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, email info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, info@seawallfoundation.org. Hey, I got another great book for you, recommendation, is Success is My Major. Success is My Major. It's written by an athletic administrator at a Power Five institution who's not even 30 years old, and she embraces professional and personal development, and she put it in this book. Now, I personally have purchased this book and given it as gifts. I've purchased the book and given it with my speaking engagement with middle school kids. And, hey, I think it's one of the best books to be able to set the mind straight. And she even calls it, she says, to go from entitlement, and I'm here to tell you we have got to work on the entitlement of our young people. And how do we do that? We do that by showing them how to work on themselves is one of those things. And she mentioned some of the top dogs, you know, from John Maxwell to one of the most recent professional development books that talks about atomic habits. And how many people know that your success is based on being consistent, but make sure your consistency is based on good habits. And if you want to get to somewhere, you just have to have some good habits and be consistent about it. And even old heads like me, you can learn a new way about going about doing it. So to get your copy, go to successmajorbook.com. Successmajorbook.com. Another book that I continue to push, and I know it to be the case, that especially with name, image, and likeness, the financial literacy piece is kind of important. And our young people, and I want to say a correspondent about the NCAA sending out some more guidelines about the NIL, and it talks about how the institution cannot steer young people toward agencies, financial people, or any of that nature. But it did not say that you couldn't educate them on how to select those people. And this book is one of those educational tools because it's called Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And the curse is actually getting your money and losing your money by several different methods, meaning not hiring the right kind of person, not recognizing taxes and how to put your money in places that become tax shelters. And you know, most kids don't know they're having taxes because they're doing the parent taxes, even if they're student athletes. So if they get a deal that's over $600, guess what? They got to file their own taxes. And how do we fix it so they don't lose their money that they receive? And how about those deals that give free items to, again, free meaning they didn't have to, they didn't receive any dollars, but they received services. They got to pay taxes on that. You know, so for instance, if a student athlete is an influencer for a gym and they got free membership for a year, and the membership is over $600, worth $600, they got to pay taxes on that. And how they gonna do that, pay taxes, if they not have received any cash dollars? So they need to have those type of people in their back pocket. And well, we need to get their mind right to understand what it is they need to know and how to. Our kids are so used to everybody taking care of them. Let's just be honest. And they got to learn how to do that on their own. So this is how you do it. You go get this book from Amazon. It's in three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Yes. And so I'm excited about that. Excited about that. And I have utilize this book quite often. And before the pandemic, the last Celebration Bowl, I sent it to the NFL, and the NFL purchased the book for the participants in the Celebration Bowl. So you don't take my word for it. The NFL purchased it. So if they thought it was a great resource, why don't you? Alva Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. Policy to practice. The center has the following: first responder training, sport and event certification, workspace safety, personal training, and operations for and training operations. Almost every day I see some type of, oh my goodness, you know, I wasn't going to really talk about this, but, you know, we're here, I'm going to say this. It's so unfortunate. I live in Virginia, so it's the tragedy in UVA with the three football players, tragedy losing their lives to another young man that was on the football team. And I teach collegiate athletic administration, and my main thing is about, do you know the policies? As an athletic administrator, are your policies into practice? And I guess this also has to do with me being my Alva Amaker, because she talks this, she breathes this, and I was able to get her speaking engagement with a state organization assisting a state who had a shooting at a football game. And they asked her to come and speak for the superintendent so that they can see the big picture and how to allocate their funds to be able to protect the participants and spectators and how to prepare for that. And it's a lot to do with, again, what you have on paper and with the people who are actually doing it, what they're doing. So I would really strongly encourage you to visit her website at Vigilance, VigilanceSTC.com. VigilanceSTC.com. Well, I am thrilled to bring one of my longest, I don't want to say her age, but hey, I told you I've been there 37 years. This young lady was an intern with me within those 30 years, and I am so proud of her. When we talk about resiliency, this young lady has that. And so, yeah, I'm just that she is back in the business. And so to hear about her journey, let us bring Danielle Wright to the mic.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
We are doing fabulous. It's funny because you got your own podcast. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm extremely proud. You know I'm always proud of you. I mean, you know this. So, before everybody else can see, while I'm all excited about you, tell everybody about your journey from college to now.
Oh, my gosh. So, my journey from college to now, let's see. Well, the funny thing is, it actually started with you. I ended up meeting you at maybe a homecoming event, or you may have come in and spoken to one of my classes, and you mentioned sports information, and then that led me to be with Patricia. I'm going to call her Harvey. She was Harvey back then, but now she's Porter Mayfield. And so I remember walking into her office, and we had to do at least 10 hours of volunteer work for this class. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I don't know anything about sports information, but, you know, I was like, well, the lady that came to talk to us said something about sports information. I wonder what that is. And I just looked it up, and I was like, well, I thought I was going to be a physical therapist, but then I'm so bad with science that I was like, okay, let me do something else, because science and biology and all of that is clearly not where I'm gifted. So I need to go somewhere else. But I knew I wanted to be in sports. So I went to Patricia and sat down with her. Now, keep in mind, it's really just for volunteer hours, but my parents always taught me, you dress for the job you want, not the one that you have. And mm-hmm. so I went in. Listen, I had one suit. It was a blue double-breasted suit. I had some navy blue pumps and, like, a white blouse. And I went in there mm-hmm. with my suit on, a resume, like I was going in for a full interview. And she said, wow, you really came in here like you're applying for a job. And I never left. That mm-hmm. was my freshman year, I think. And
what?
I was in, yeah. Yep.
Girl, that's great.
And I never left. By my senior year, I ended up also working in I was the football manager my senior year, just because I wanted to do something different. And I think she had left, and mm-hmm. I think that crushed me a little. And I was like, oh, I remember thinking, can you take me with you? What is going on? Like, but at that point, I had also come in to work at the CIAA with Shara White and you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was such a great experience for me because, you know, there weren't any women in sports PR that looked like
mm-hmm.
me. And so to have, mm-hmm. you know, Patricia and then you and Shara, I was like, whoa. It was so inspiring to me. And so,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, when I graduated, well, not unfortunately, when I graduated, I ended up getting a full scholarship to attend Indiana University.
Mm-hmm.
I met my health teacher. I was traveling to New Orleans to get an award my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my health teacher from freshman year at Hampton in the airport.
Was it Ms. Butt?
My
was
freshman
Butt?
Year at Hampton. I'm sorry?
Was it her name Ms. Butt?
Yes.
Oh, it was the same teacher.
I think it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe that wasn't her name. I can't, oh my gosh, I can see her face, and it's so bad that And she has, like, a really common last name, and I just can't remember her last name.
Okay.
But I saw her in the airport, and when I walked up to her, I said, I don't know if you remember me. She said, of course I remember you. She said, you were one of my best students. She said, I remember there were three different teachers that were trying to get you to become a teacher in our field. And that was my education teacher. She wanted me to be an elementary school teacher. My math teacher wanted me to go into math education. And then I had my health teacher who thought that I should go into health education. And I was like, I don't want to do any of these. But she was very much like, I want you to teach. And I was like, I love teaching. I love tutoring and mentoring and all that, but I can't see myself in the classroom every day. And so she said, well, I want you to, she said, she was asking me about where I was going and what I was doing. She was like, I can't believe you're about to graduate. And she said, I have an opportunity for you. And one of my friends does minority recruitment at Indiana University, and they're giving scholarships to minorities who want to go into various careers in athletics.
Oh, okay.
And I said, okay. And so she put me in contact with him, and then it was literally right after I got back from New Orleans, I filled out the application, got accepted, got a full ride. So I went to Indiana for my master's in athletic administration. And when I got out, I did 1 year as a media relations assistant with the Mid-American Conference in my hometown in Cleveland. But then after that, I couldn't find a job in sports. And so I was devastated. I was like, oh, you know, I felt like I was wasting my degree, and I had applied to several jobs. I remember I was one of two finalists for a job at University of El Paso and another Southwestern school, but I didn't have the experience that most people that were applying for director positions had. And so I remember going back. I was working for my dad in insurance for 3 years, and then I got a call from Tamika Jones in the middle of my workday one day. And I was like, I'm sorry, who is this? And she said, your name was given to me by someone, and I need a sports information director like yesterday. And within a week, I was hired for the sports information director position at Clark Atlanta. I was there for a year, and then I went to Kentucky State for 2.5 years, then Cincinnati for a year, and then I felt burned out. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, because I felt burned out but didn't realize that the burnout phase was really me battling several like things emotionally. I had some losses that were going on. I was having health issues. And so I went back to Kentucky State to work as a residence hall director. And was during that time, I remember just kind of like, I had one of my best friends, and she and I talked every day. And there was an entire week where I went without talking to her. And she called my parents. And she was like, I can't get a hold of Danny, and there's something wrong. Like, I don't know what's going on. I can't reach her. And my parents drove from Cleveland to Frankfort, Kentucky, and I went to a mental health therapist. And that was my first time seeing a therapist. And I was diagnosed with depression and, you know, mild OCD and anxiety. And so from that point on, I realized that a lot of what I thought was adversity or me not being able, me not fitting in somewhere or whatever the case was really me having horrible anxiety and also not recognizing some of the mental health issues I was having at the time. And I feel like once I addressed that, things really started to change for me. And even though I wasn't in athletics anymore at that point, I was still very much connected to people that were in the industry. I was still doing, you know, like freelance projects for people in the industry. And so it still kept me connected. And so I was out of athletics for 8 years, and I spent those 8 years in communications at one pre-K through 8 school and then a pre-K through 12th grade school. So I was still connected, which was great, and was still able to do things like, you know, I was announcing volleyball matches and things like that.
Ooh,
things like that.
Say it again.
Yeah. I was announcing volleyball matches.
Wow.
And that was at one of the schools because they needed someone and they knew I had a sports background, and it was just something that was so fun for me. I was like, and volleyball is like one of my favorite sports to watch. I love volleyball. And so it was just it was a great way for me to stay connected. And so I had other positions, and then COVID hit, and I ended up losing my job at the school I was at. And so at that point, I decided that I was not going to rush and go back to work or try to find work. I poured myself into my communications firm, Right Relations, and that took off. It was doing extremely well. But then I had an incident in December that caused me to not be able to work at all. And so it took me months to get back on my feet. And I started working for a nonprofit. And then, like, literally a month ago, after being out of athletics for 8 years, I got a call. I actually got a text message from my friend Kalisha, who said, Dr. Barnes will be reaching out
Kiki
to you.
Kiki Baker Barnes.
Yes, the Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. She's going to be reaching out to you. I said, oh, okay. Now, I knew Kiki was in athletics, but I had never spoken with her about athletics. A couple times that I spoke with her, number one, it was about my book. So she actually bought my book. But then it was also about her personal brand. So in my mind, she's reaching out to me because she needs help with an event or some social media stuff or something. And I get on the phone with her, and it's all about the conference and what they have going on, and you know, they're looking to fill this role. And I'm like, oh, okay. Still just completely just not, my mind was not thinking that she was calling me for that position. And I remember her saying, so if you want the job, it's yours. And I was like, wait, what? And I remember pausing and thinking, I could feel my heart beating through my chest, you know. Like, and just the level of excitement that I had. And then I, like, I started crying. She started crying. Like, we're both we're both on the phone crying because even with the questions that I was asking her about the position and her needs and just explaining, you know, answering her questions, it was clear that it was a prayer answered. Now, let me back up, because the funny thing about it is that my friend Terry Bryant, who's a football coach in Lexington, Kentucky, she and I met on Facebook through a mutual friend because at the time I had just started coaching football. And so this I started coaching football at a middle school in Akron, Ohio. And our friend Michael introduced us. The crazy thing about it is Terry's been in Lexington my entire sports career. And even when I was down there, I was in Kentucky, like 30 minutes away from her. I had never met her. We have like 100 mutual friends, like real friends, not just Facebook friends, but people in real life. And so it was so interesting. We got to talking, and then we decided, you know, she said she wanted to do more speaking. And I said, you should start a podcast. And you should start a podcast because you can take everything that's in your podcast into a course to teach the women that you're marketing towards or that you want to market. She said, oh, well, how do I do that? And I was like, oh, I got you.
Well, you know, so within a week, right there. She's in the next magazine, so you need to go and help her because her deadline, she needs it. She need, I mean, the next draft, okay?
ASAP. Okay. So we started the podcast, and I think we were probably like 3 weeks in to our podcast, and we had a conversation about she would love to coach on a different level, you know. And I was saying how I would love to be back in athletics. I said I really miss it, and I said I feel like doing this podcast shows me how much that I knew I loved athletics, and I knew that that's where I should be, but I was trying to connect the dots again and figure out how to get back into it, and really figure out, like, if that was truly what I wanted to do at this point. And so literally a week later, she got a call to be an assistant coach for a women's professional tackle league in Louisville, Kentucky. And then a week after that is when I got the call from Kiki. And so it just
And what's the name of the conference that you now work for?
Gulf Coast Athletic Conference.
And what is your title?
Director of Strategic Communications.
And did you just have your very first event?
Yes, so it's been a whirlwind, 6-7 weeks. 2 weeks after I started, it was like, well, actually 3 weeks in, we had our cross-country championship in Decatur, Alabama. And then about 2 weeks after that was our volleyball championship in New Orleans. And then we also had our private screening for Wakanda Forever. That was a week ago today. And so it has been a whirlwind, but one of the greatest things about it is that everyone is growing together. And I think that when you have strong leaders, strong teams are built. And so it's a lot of work, also a lot of fun as well. So doing the work of creating the conference's first media days, as opposed to just having a sit-down banquet, and giving them this feeling of, I'm not going to say fame, but letting the world know, like, hey, we're out here, you know, and
mm-hmm.
HBCUs are not the bottom of the barrel. We are just as competitive. We are just as important. We have just as much raw talent, and let us show you who we are and our culture. And the feedback from that has been phenomenal, but it started with Kiki having the idea of transforming what we do at the mm-hmm. at the conference level and making things definitely more about our student athletes and coaches and showcasing them and what they're doing. And so being able to connect those dots and pull out stories from our campuses has been just, you know, it's been fun. Like our volleyball coach who just won the championship, it's her first year, Philander Smith College. Her name is Kayla Black. Mm-hmm. She just won the volleyball championship. It's her first year coaching. She just graduated from Xavier of New Orleans in 2021. So Xavier was actually in the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference when she graduated. She's mm-hmm, also mm-hmm. a two-time GCAC Player of the Year. I think she won that award her sophomore and junior year. Mm-hmm. And so a year and a half later, she's now back in the GCAC as a coach and wins her first championship as a coach in the same league that she graduated from. But Zula is no longer in the GCAC. They're in mm-hmm. They're now in the Red River Athletic Conference. So they're still mm-hmm. in the NAIA, but just in a different conference. But so stories like that, you know, helping people see that, you know, it's kind of, I believe, like, once you're with an HBCU, you're always with an HBCU. There's just something mm-hmm. special about being part of the HBCU environment and culture. And so for me, I'm excited to be back in athletics, but also mm-hmm. even more excited to be with an HBCU athletic conference.
And I saw Kiki in Kansas, and we were sitting on the couch, and she was like, I am so excited about having Danny. And she was like, I thought she was just the author. And I
yeah.
said, huh? Yeah, the author. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. She did write a book in between all her life, yeah. It's so nice to have two of my favorites together. I'm just, and I can just see the glow, and I'm glad that you're back in. And I do have a couple of questions. One of them, and I'm going to finish up my story. Ooh, girl. I caught myself trying to be a help. I said, well, I'm going to train somebody. Technology. I mean, oh, my gosh. Now, one more thing. I mean, you and I had done some projects together, and I was just like, can you do so-and-so? And then you just whip it out. And, you know, and I eventually figured out how to use Canva and do my own thing, but it took a while. How do you stay up on technology? And before you answer the question, I'm going to answer. So, I had to help a young lady. I did. But I didn't know what she was typing. The stuff wasn't going in, and I didn't know why it wasn't going in. Because I was calling the game to her and telling her the keystrokes. But mm-hmm. probably what she needed to do was read what the computer was saying instead of typing in what I said to get her where she needed to be. It was not good. But I will say that thank goodness I knew how to write out the stats, and I was able to give it to her and recreate a box score. But when I tell you I felt like a total failure, oh, my God. Because I was like, how many people have I trained to do stats? And I know 24 years, but I was like, it's like riding a bicycle. Well, that bicycle broke, okay? Girl, I mean, it took me like 2 whole days to get my nerves back together. But the only reason why I came out of like the woodwork was because I said, I can put another woman SID position if I can just, but I got to tell you, that girl got nerves of steel. She did not quit. She kept going. She was, I mean, I was like, you got it. I mean, if I can just get somebody to teach you how to go about doing it, you got this thing, girl.
I think that it is very much like riding a bicycle. And I remember sitting down. One of the first things that Patricia showed me was how to do stats. And I remember we were doing, I was doing stats at the Norfolk State Hampton game. Like that was around the time that I started volunteering. And I remember it was just, it was natural for me. I knew, I knew the sport. And so listening to someone helped me watch the sport from a different angle and learn it even more. So when it came time for me to coach football, it was like, okay, I don't know necessarily the plays, but I can learn the plays. But the other, this other basic stuff, I know from being up in the press box, looking down and taking stats. So that's
right,
that side. I think that once you learn it, it is like riding a bike, and sometimes the bike just needs to be oiled a little bit, so it's maybe
you
a little rusty at first.
The button to hit.
Yeah, because it's literally all about keystrokes, but now things have changed so much where, like, some of the programs already have the keystrokes on there, and they're intuitive. So it for volleyball, something like, what is it, Game Tracker or Presto Stats, it knows for volleyball, the flow of the game is dig, set, spike, dig, set, or dig, set, attack. And then, so all you're doing is clicking on the number for the team, for the player, for that team who has possession of the ball. And so that thing has changed dramatically. So I feel like, ooh, I need to relearn this stuff because this is different than what we had before. But I think keeping up with technology is really about, like, not for me, it's I learn in chunks, so I learn what we need. So right now, I'm focused on helping my digital marketing coordinator learn how to create smaller videos with more movement and graphics. And so, how can we do that and put out greater content that looks nice without having, like, to send you to school for it.
But you can use YouTube as a school.
And so we're learning those elements. So I try not to overwhelm myself with trying to learn everything, and I break it down into, okay, our next strategic move is this. What technology do we need? What resources do we need? And how can we get this done? And then once we learn that, then I can move on to something else, like learning more about Canva or learning more about Photoshop and Adobe Premiere and things like that. But because I used to just sit down and just, I would spend an entire day just playing around with stuff, and it's like, that's not really productive. And for someone like me, I end up going down a rabbit hole. So I'll learn one thing, and then I get stuck on that one thing that has nothing to do with what I said I was going to work on. So I do try to, I try to block my time off with what's the priority for us right now.
Knowing it's half the battle. Yes, and I have learned that I got great resources, so I surrounded, look, This is how bad it was. I just thought it would come to me. And I was like, ooh, how do I put the starting five in? Girl, I text all three people, Aurelia, April, and Greg Goins all at one time. Help! I said, now, these people here are your family now. That's who you call.
Right.
I've done my part because I have come to a blockage down the tunnel. So,
I was going to say the other thing is that sometimes it's not necessarily meant for you to learn. It's meant for you to outsource. And I think that a lot of times I would get caught up in trying to do everything myself rather than saying, I can do this myself, but I shouldn't do it myself. So let me find someone that can focus on this one element that I need done so that I can focus on the other things that are very pressing and a priority for my role.
And I think you got that from the entrepreneur training because it is a thought process that you need to be doing revenue-producing activities. And, you know, some people are like, well, if I can do it myself, I can save myself some money. But you need time to make money. And therefore, if you are spending your time doing something that doesn't produce any money, then you're not going to be a successful entrepreneur. So I think, and it's interesting because even when I consult sitting athletic directors, and I had to tell them, and it's lucky because I wouldn't even thought about it. I mean, I would use the word delegating when I was, you know, in higher ed. But from an entrepreneur side, we think about outsourcing to free up your time. And I say as a sitting athletic director, you're not supposed to be doing as so much as being because you're being hired for your brain power, not your doing power.
Right. Yep. And I think it is a shift because I think as sports information director, you have to have a strategic mindset, but you also have to be able to focus in on having tunnel vision at times where your only focus is, I've got to get these stats done, or, you know what I'm saying, I have to get things updated so that we're running statistics, I know what the stats say about this particular player. I understand the stats for this particular coach. But then I think in the role that I'm in now, it is a little more complex because it's not. Yep. It's very much about telling a story, and it's very much about pushing out the story of our conference as well. Like, Kiki is the very first Black woman commissioner, and she's also the very first full-time commissioner. And so when you think about an athletic conference, like, what do you mean there was no full-time commissioner before? And so to wrap your head around that and then realize how much she's been able to accomplish in the time that she's been a full-time commissioner it's astonishing.
Amazing.
I mean, she secured the largest media rights deal of any NAIA conference. And so looking at things like that, you know, and the opportunities that it gives our student athletes, our coaches, people on campus, because it's not just about athletics now. This is an opportunity for every single membership school. And so, but again, that goes to having a strong leader, a visionary, and then someone that's able to build the team around her that can support these ideas and the vision that she has.
How about adding the Virgin Islands?
How about that? I'm like, wait a minute now. When are we going?
Who posted what?
I said, wow. I mean, so that was another huge deal, you know. And so the excitement behind adding the Virgin Islands to our conference is such a great storyline and opportunity as well. You know, University of Virgin Islands is an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at, again, we're looking at another cultural experience.
Mm-hmm.
That our students get to have, even our coaches. And so I think that, you know, again, she has the mindset of growing the conference in so many different ways. And I just, I tease her sometimes. I'm like, okay, you can only do commissioner stuff. Like, you're not allowed to do the website anymore. You know, you're not allowed to do
mm-hmm,
these other
mm-hmm.
things anymore. You can't be the worker bee. We needed to be the commissioner.
Right.
And she laughs at me, and she, you know, she'll tell people, you know, my director said that I can't do this. But it is not because we don't want to see her involved in everything.
That's
it's because
right.
as we grow,
brain power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, I want to say thank you for bringing your phenomenal story to us today. I really appreciate you filling in the gap for me today, and it has been enlightening for me to hear your journey to get to Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes to the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. And I've just been grinning and looking at your work.
Aw, thank you so much. And so I think also I want to end with this is that I would not be here in this position if it were not for you either. So I don't want people to miss that part of my story that when I was at the CIAA, I was working with Shara in media relations, but I have very vivid memories of you pulling me to the side and pulling me out of her office on several occasions to give me extra work to do and train me in other areas. Because at that point, you were an assistant commissioner, pulled by you to learn other aspects of it gave me an opportunity to learn how to manage multiple projects, multiple storylines, pieces of championships that needed to be taken care of. And then you pulled me into the Boo Williams tournament as well. And so, you know, you are definitely a conduit for growth. And so I think that having Seeds of Empowerment is so fitting because you really not just plant seeds, but sometimes people come to you and they've already been planted and you are literally the nourishment and that nurturing mm-hmm. that we need to grow. So I told you this before. A thank you is not good enough, but it's like I can't really think of anything better to say but thank you, you know, because I truly would not be here if it weren't for you.
Bless you, dear. And we at the end of time, so I want to say thank you to you and to Ms. Harrison for show podcast follow-ups. Join us on the Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. See you next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a significant rest of the day.